The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Mix Show is on deck. Guitars plugged in. Drums ready to go. Chickens.
They're a-clucking.
Other animals. And action.
This is the Daily Mix Show on The Rock with Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs.
While listening to the Daily Mix Show, please refrain from any unnecessary finger gesturing.
99.9 KISW.
There's a music website called Yardbarker, and they just put out an article about bands that feature more than one primary vocalist.
Okay, so my first instinct was thinking like Evanescence, but that's not a band. They don't have two singers. They just had a song where they had the guy going, woo, 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 or he's like the guitarist, but like he didn't do a lot of...
Just like that one song.
Yeah, it's the one song. That doesn't really count.
Well, we have a few of the highlights. Here is one.
Let's go. Now, obviously, this is for Sarah. This is her favorite band, but I think we could all agree that Alice in Chains are freaking great.
I mean, whether it's Lane Staley fronting the song or Jerry Cantrell fronting the song or even now William Duvall fronting the song, they do such a great job blending those harmonies and each getting an opportunity to be the star of the song.
If I was going to make a list, like a Mount Rushmore of bands that have two singers or multiple singers, they're number one.
Without question.
It really does illustrate and prove how great and how talented Jerry Cantrell is. The fact that they can move on without Lane, which sucks, obviously, but you bring in William Duvall, and I feel like they didn't miss much of a beat because you still got Jerry.
Yeah.
You still got his songwriting abilities, and those backing vocals add so much to their songs.
The signature sound. Another on the list of bands that feature more than one primary vocalist.
Danny's favorite band. I will be honest. I love that you went with Lick It Up.
I didn't know. I was like... I don't know any Kiss songs, really. And I was like, well, what other songs do they all sing on? And this was the first one that came up in the Google search. So
I was thinking, I'm wondering, what song is Danny going to go with? I thought maybe like Detroit Rock City.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, I Want to Rock and Roll All Night.
Do they both sing on that one, too?
I don't think so. But
okay.
You know, a lot of their songs, I think it's like if Gene singing.
Yeah.
I'm sure Joe Dredd, our buddy Joe, is a big Kiss fan. I love Kiss, don't get me wrong, but I think, you know, nowhere near the fandom that he has and the knowledge that he has. But like if Paul's singing, it's mostly just Paul.
Yeah.
But even like Ace has sang some songs and Peter Criss as well.
Sure. Another band that features more than one primary vocalist.
Oh my God. Sing Taryn's face the minute anything by the Grateful Dead comes on. It's just like a kid in a candy store.
You got your Jerry Garcia songs. You got your Bob Weir songs. They're all amazing.
It's like her face morphs.
Yeah, it really did. That's just
the acid, Steve.
She's glowing right now.
You turn into a hippie. It's weird. Like your leather jacket just started turning tie-dye. It's... There was like a facial change when you hear hippie music.
So great.
I will say
so
that
great.
I did love pulling that video because it's just skeletons on stage singing.
Oh, that is a great video.
I was like, oh, this is cool. I've never seen this one before.
Look, Danny's a deadhead now. He finally broke through.
Well, sure I'm not.
Let's not get crazy. But it is a cool video because it is kind of like a fun poking fun at themselves kind of a
For
thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is a list that Yardbarker put together of bands that have more than one primary vocalist.
Yep, minus the Grateful Dead one, I'm on board for all the other three. Danny,
so good.
I thought of you. I almost sent it to our group chat, but I forgot. Have you ever heard of a comedian by the name of Whitmer Thomas?
No.
I want to play you this clip because it cracked me up, and I also it cracked me up also because some Blink 182 fans clearly don't have a sense of humor and they couldn't laugh at this joke. But I thought it was real. As a Blink 182 fan, I thought this joke was hilarious.
Do you think Danny's gonna laugh?
Let me look at him. Let's see. He's recovering from emo night. I feel like he's got more sleep. I think he's a little less irrational.
Sure.
I think he's gonna appreciate this joke. I think it's funny.
Let's hear it.
Blink-182 has two singers. That's kind of what they're known for, you know? Their first singer, he comes in, he does a pretty good job. He has, like, these dark kind of poetic lyrics, right? Hello there, the angel from my nightmare, the shadow in the background of the morgue. I miss you, I miss you. That guy did a pretty good job. But Blink-182 has two singers. So that second guy has got to come in. So it goes, where are you? And I'm so sorry. I got sleep. I got dreamed in it. I need somebody I know well. The six straws, dirt, nose, and driven in. So hunting our red pine. There's spiders. Do you think at any point that first singer was like, oh, are we still doing that voice? We're 37.
Come on, that was great.
So good.
So great. Good. So you're like, you just referred to them as singers. They have names. Their names are Mark and Tom.
Okay.
So you're more of a Tom guy.
I am more of a Tom guy, yeah.
What same. You,
you're a Tom guy? See, I'm a Mark girl.
Oh, dude, when Tom, especially Stay Together for the Kids. That's my. That's like one of my favorite songs just good in one. General. But I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, whoa, this is deep and heavy for Blink-182. I know they sometimes tackle serious stuff, mm-hmm. like Adam's song. But man, when Tom kicks in the chorus, I even got goosebumps right now thinking about
boy.
It. I love that guy's voice.
And you didn't even come from a broken home. Imagine us that did.
Yeah.
That's why we cry, Steve.
Where are you?
The Daily Migs Show.
Rockaholics, our phone number is 206-803-ROCK. Give us a call now. What's the strangest hobby you've encountered someone having? Or what is your hobby that many think is odd? There is a chat happening online right now, and it is quite interesting. People talking about hobbies that are red flags.
Oh, like for dating?
Yes.
Okay.
For dating.
Thank goodness none of us have to deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, does your significant other have a hobby that you consider
odd? Oh, I think
you're
saying, is my significant other dating? I'm like, I'm pretty sure she's not.
Does she have a weird hobby, though?
Asking me to clean up after myself.
It's
infuriating. Hmm. No, but I'm sure if you asked her the question, I think the answer would be rather easy, is that I like to wear spandex and pretend fight my friends on the weekends. And that is a very odd hobby to have, also known as independent wrestling.
I don't know that that would be a red flag, though.
It would have been if we first met. I think, I I mean, I remember when we first started dating, she'll tell this story and it always cracks me up and, you know, maybe I think it's a little bit of an exaggeration. I like to tell myself that, but she says to people, oh yeah, my husband, when we first started dating, he said he kind of liked wrestling. And like he'd watch it from time to time. And it was soon after we started dating that I realized he obsessively watches professional wrestling all the time.
Well, I don't know. It didn't make the list of red flags.
I don't remember personally saying I kind of like it. I think I've always said it's the most amazing thing ever, brother.
Okay. Love.
Yeah.
It's a love. So a few of the red flags. Pranking people.
That's a red flag? Well, don't you think it depends on the prank?
I do, like, because I like to scare people.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
And in what way?
I hate it. Like, I'll hide behind, like, the kitchen island, and then when he walks in the door, like, jump up and scare him. And he doesn't like that.
How old are
but
you?
But I like it.
You're doing that to poor Brad. He's not, is that getting any younger?
He's
he likes to smoke weed.
He's 55
years old. He's 55 and stoned.
His poor heart.
What are you doing to this guy? He just wants to chill and watch probably some TV shows.
Well, they say that the pranks are really more the mean-spirited pranks that are the... And mine comes from a place of love.
It's just a quick startle. Yes. Just like my obsession with professional wrestling.
For sure. Being obsessed with celebrity culture, especially worshiping celebrities.
I would have a hard time being with somebody that... constantly was talking about what celebrities did or didn't do. Like, I mean, obviously there's ones that are just massive pop culture. Like, my wife and I will have a quick conversation maybe about Taylor Swift because she was all over the news during the run to the Super Bowl.
Of course.
And but it's not like neither one of us are obsessively keeping up on all the little details. It's more
on
like
the Kardashians?
No, thank God. I got a little nervous one time. We went to like New York to go visit family and we're walking around. She's like, I want to go check out this one store. I'm like, all right. So we walked somewhere. It was in Miami. And finally we get there. I'm like, what is it about the street you want to see? She's like, oh, I see it on the Kardashians all the time. I was like, you know, if you said that from the get-go, I would have said no.
That's the red flag.
Yeah, but she's like, but there's a really cool ice cream store right next door. I'm like, say less. Let's go.
Being obsessed with politics, particularly when it's rage and hate-fueled.
That's a hobby?
You know what, dude? Go on social media. It's a massive hobby for some people.
Oh, yes.
And now, granted, I'm not dating, but recently I was in a situation where a dude and I were just talking. First time I ever met the dude. And we're just BSing about something. It was very on the surface, nothing too crazy. And then he just looks at me and goes, well, what do you think about Biden? And I was like, what? And then he just starts going off. And I'm just like, I'm going to go check up my kid. Good talk. I was just like, I don't know you. Why do I want to have this kind of conversation with you? And he was getting heated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then he went down other things. And just like, and then let me tell you about this other thing. I'm just like, I don't know you, man. I don't even know your name.
Nice to meet you. Bye.
Pretty much.
What about this one? Being a social media influencer.
Again, that's a hobby?
Have you seen people with their cell phones and their selfie sticks? And like, I see that at the gym a lot where they have now the tripods.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think some of these people are filming it to check their form. I think they're solely doing it so they can brag about it on social media.
One of my favorite accounts to follow on Instagram is Influencers in the Wild. And it's people capturing influencers getting their content. And it is so hysterical.
My favorite are just all the radio people that we know that like to believe that they're influencers.
And oh, yeah.
On their social media pages where they have maybe like 300 followers, but they're acting like as if they're like the most important person in the world with what they're telling you to buy and what they're promoting. I'm just like, what is... You spend a lot of time doing this.
I'm only trying to influence people to listen to more Rush. That's all.
Well, it's not working.
Gambling? Gambling?
Oh, yeah.
That could be a bad hobby if you get too obsessed with it.
That was me in my early 20s.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was super obsessed with gambling.
I'm trying to think of what were you gambling on? What do you think?
I'm going to say Danny was a Texas Hold'em player.
I wish I was
that guy. I'm going to go with, just because I like saying it, craps.
I also wish I was that cool. No, it was roulette.
Roulette? That would be my second guess.
Yeah, for about 2-3 years there, it was like to the point of like where I was like obsessively going to the casino and spending my rent money, and I have to like call and bail. And it was like one of those like wake up moments of like, you can't do this anymore.
You just need to win that one time. You'll make up for all the money you lost.
Yeah, you say that.
That's all it takes. Smoking weed. And a few people said drinking, which I don't know if those are hobbies. Those are just lifestyle choices.
It's a way of life, brah.
People who have zero hobbies at all. That's apparently a red flag.
Well, that would be weird. I think if you don't have anything that you're passionate about outside of just like maybe going to work, like that just seems strange to me.
Nothing sparks joy.
Like there's nothing that you want to do that you get excited to do that gives you peace of mind. Then I guess that's the person that yells on social media about politics.
Yeah. What is the strangest hobby you've encountered, Rockaholics? Or what is the hobby that you might have that many people think is odd? 206-803-ROCK.
The Daily Mix Show.
Rockaholics, what is the strangest hobby you've encountered someone having? Or what is your hobby that many think is just plain odd? 206-803-ROCK. Give us a call right now. Steve in Kirkland. Not you. The other Steve. Steve in Kirkland. You collect electric guitars, but you don't play them.
Yeah, I know. When I hear you say it, it sounds really weird.
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't think it sounds weird at all. There's a couple of guitars I would like to own just to put them on display. Like, for instance, the Mike McCready signature guitar for Pearl Jam.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't have that kind of coin to drop on it. But I don't think it's all that weird to collect guitars because they look awesome on the wall.
They do. But the problem is I just bought a really nice Fender Strat, and Lee Oscar was in town, so I went down to see him, and I sat and talked to him for a while, and I ended up having all the guys sign it, so now I have to buy another guitar, because I was going to learn how to play, and I'm left-handed, so I have to buy a left-handed guitar, and so they signed that one, so that's another one I have to put up, and I've got Jimmy Page, Alice Cooper, I've just got tons, and I really want to play because it's embarrassing to have someone come to your house and say, dude, that's awesome. Can you play that? And it's like, no.
How many
guitars?
Just
say they're too valuable to touch, man. I can't be messing with these guitars.
Well, you know, and I just bought a really nice one. I bought a Gibson Les Paul 1980 SGR1 in black, and it's beautiful, and there's only 200 of them.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a really cool thing to have, but I can't play it. You know, it looks so beautiful, you know, and you open up the hard case and it's so impressive and I just can't do anything.
Although it would be pretty amazing if all of a sudden you had some buddies over and like, there's only 200 of these. Dude, can you just play something for me? And then you take it out of the case. You look like you're about to play something like some shredding, some awesome guitar lick, and you just start doing like Mary Had a Little Lamb on it. and they'll be like, all right, man, you can put that back in the case.
Well, I did actually take it to the Madison Avenue pub and have one of the guys during blues night take it for a spin, and it sounded real good.
Oh, I bet that was cool.
I like the Madison Avenue pub. That's a fun spot. Hey, how many guitars you got total?
13, I think.
Nice.
And of the 13, which one did you drop the most coin on, out of curiosity?
The 1980 SGR1. That was about $2,500.
Whoa!
The rest of them I picked up from people who needed money and was able to pick them up pretty cheap and then end up getting them signed. I mean, when Jimmy Page signed the guitar for me, I was so shocked. I was in the studio in L.A. at Warner Brothers with my cousin, and this guy kept asking me if I was a guitar technician, and I was trying to play the piano, because that's what I play the piano. And I kept going, leave me alone, stop talking to me. And then finally I had some really foul words. And when I turned around, he was standing in the door. And I was like, I felt like the biggest idiot in the world. And I said, could I get your autograph? Which is something I don't do. And he said, yeah, come on down. So he signed the guitar and he gave me a bow with it and wrote, Steve, thanks for sounding so good, because it just so happens I was playing Stairway to Heaven when he came in. So, I mean, just that's kind of how it all starts. You know, you meet somebody, and I screw the pooch every time I meet someone famous because I don't realize who they are. And I just got Shooter Jennings. I was sitting next to him down in Redondo, and I didn't know who he was, and I had some tequila in my boot. So I said, hey, you know, you want to take some shots? And so we sat there and took shots, and he got all hammered out with me. And before I realized that, when these girls asked to sign a shirt, I thought they wanted me to sign it because it was one of my shirts. And he stood up, and I was like, what are you doing? He says, what are you doing? I said, well, who are you? He says, who are you? And turns out that he was the headliner, so I was feeling pretty stupid at that point. You know?
All of this happened to me, too, one time when I was on acid. Like a crazy acid trip.
206-803-ROCK, we are talking about what is the strangest hobby you've ever encountered someone having, or what is your hobby that many think is odd? Melissa in Tacoma, what is it you collect?
Beach Boys and Brian Wilson, everything.
Wow. Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. We go to... Every time they come and they play at, like, the Puyallup Fair or, like, Marymore Park, me and my daughter go. I have a whole studio that's just, like, filled with records and books. And I you know how much concert shirts cost, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to a concert and you buy a shirt, they're way more expensive than they should be. I have so many Brian Wilson shirts.
Dude, the other time when we went to that Beaches concert, not the Beach Boys, but just the Beaches, the shirt was $50. I was like, you know, I want a T-shirt, but I don't want a T-shirt that bad.
I have about 6 Brian Wilson hoodies, and I dress kind of like alternative and metal, and so it doesn't really go with my wardrobe, so they just hang in my closet.
So who got you hooked on Brian Wilson and the music of the Beach Boys?
I was actually really depressed one day and went down this, like, YouTube rabbit hole and somehow, like, came across an a cappella audio of the Beach Boys singing,
uh-huh,
which led to an audio of Brian Wilson's dad yelling at him and Wilson being schizophrenic. And I was just dealing with so much stuff. I just kind of related to it all and was like, oh my God, he's crazy like me. And he makes good music.
So is Pet Sounds your favorite of all their records?
Actually, yes. I would say yes.
It's such a great record.
And what about favorite Beach Boys song?
I went to the anniversary tour when they came, the 60th anniversary of Pet Sounds.
Do you have a favorite Beach Boys song?
God Only Knows.
Yeah.
That's a jam. That's a jam.
I saw Brian Wilson once, and he was playing with a band called the Wonderments, and they were an incredible backing band. It was at the Washington State Fair, the Puyallup Fair at the time. But the craziest part about the show is my buddy and I were watching, and I looked at my buddy, and I'm like, I don't think he's playing that keyboard that's in front of him. And then all of a sudden, the two of us were just fixated on it, and we're staring, and we realize it's not plugged in, and he's just touching the keys. Like, open up your hands all fully open so, like, your fingers are spread apart and just kind of pounce down.
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
That's pretty much what he was doing the entire time. At first, you're not really paying attention because there's so much good stuff going on. The music's really good and, like, you know, where our seats were. You see him moving, but you're not, like, you're not hyper-focused on it. But once we started hyper-focusing on it, that's all we could see.
So were they playing to a track at all? Or, like, was there...
No, the band was playing. Ryan Wilson wasn't. Well, there were keys, but they had, like, you know, they had a couple keyboard players, and I think it was just a safety net for the dude, you know, because obviously he's had some mental issues over the years, and I think he's had some massive stage fright. So that was our, at least in our, you know, long-winded conversation we were having while watching, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's just like a safety net so he can even do these shows, that he needs something in front of him.
Sure.
Otherwise, maybe he just feels alone and naked, you know, like that kind
of
a vibe.
Not comfortable. Yeah, totally.
But it was just... It was comical how he was just do, and it didn't take. I mean, we focused on it, but it was still a great show.
I bet.
And he sounded great. I mean, I think he was really singing.
I'm sure he was. Well, actually, now I'm not sure.
I was going to say 50% of the things he was doing up there, he wasn't doing for real.
The Daily Mix Show.